Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you're being blessed of the Lord and that this broadcast will encourage your heart. And I know if you'll stay tuned that God's Word will encourage you and lift you up. But first, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know there are many under the sound of my voice that have great needs. Lord, there are many that need help in their families and their health, their finances, so many needs in our country. A lot of people, Lord, today need a calmness in their spirit. They're troubled and they're worried and they don't know what is coming. But God, I know that you can still any storm in our lives. With you, all things are possible. And that you are the author and the finisher of our faith if we'll allow you to come into our hearts. I know, Lord, there are many under the sound of my voice that are not born again, that they do not know you as Lord and Savior. But God the Father, I pray that you give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again. And that God the Father, the only way into you is through your Son, Jesus Christ. That there is no other way into you except through the name of Jesus. There are not many ways to you, but only one. His name is Jesus. And Lord, help them to realize that no matter what sin that they're caught up in, that you will forgive them, wash it away, never to be brought up against them again, and that you can restore them and deliver them and set them free. For your word says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Help them, Lord, to walk in that and to know that you have come to give them life and more abundantly. For you said in your word that you did not come to condemn us, but that you did come to give us life. And give it more abundantly. And help us to live that life in you. And the abundant life is in Jesus Christ. We know this. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. And we pray now for our country. Ask God that you touch America. Bring revival to our land. Wake us up, Lord, in this country before it's too late. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about a nation that was surrounded by their enemies. A nation that was a mighty nation. A nation that had all the weapons of war, a nation that had great warriors, a nation that had a leader, a king that was a great king, but a nation that was afraid to move and was in subjection to their enemy. And this story, this Bible story, this part of scripture that I want to talk to you is one that we all probably have heard all of our lives ever since children, and that's about David and Goliath. And I want to go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 17. And I want to talk to you today about the war of words. We don't realize how powerful words can be. And we've got to realize that when certain words are spoken over us, that if we receive them, they become active in our lives. There are many of you today that you have are being destroyed, not because somebody has come into your house and taken you captivity or are holding you under a gun, but it's through their words. You see, you cannot go into slavery or into bondage or be defeated until first you believe the lie of the enemy. When I read in the scriptures about when Israel was down in Egypt, the Bible says they were a mighty nation. There was none like them and how strong they were. But they ended up in bondage and slaves to the Egyptians. How did a mighty nation do that? They first believed the lie of the devil. They believed that the enemy over them was stronger than them. They believed that they had to depend on the enemy. The nation of Israel believed that Egypt had to feed them and clothe them, tell them where to live, tell them where to work. They had to believe the lie, and when they believe that lie, they come under bondage to Egypt and they become slaves in the land, and God had to deliver them. And that's the way it is in our lives. There's a war of words going on in your life and my life right now. The enemy tries to speak words of defeat over us. And if we receive them, we will become defeated even before the battle takes place. You see, you've got to be defeated in your heart and mind before the enemy can come in over top of you and defeat you. And that's what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to picture a mighty army. An army that had all the artillery, an army that had great chariots, an army that had great soldiers, mighty men of war, backed off in the bushes and afraid of their enemy. You say, what made them afraid? Did they have great weapons and had they won over them? No. They had one big tall guy named Goliath that came out and spoke words of dismay over them. And the Bible says that Israel, that when they heard these words, The Bible says this, that when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of Goliath, when they heard the words that he said over them, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The words, not the weapons, not the army that was behind him, not the that he threw a sword or spear or anything at them, not that they were surrounded, but they, when they heard the words of the enemy of Goliath, the Bible says they were greatly afraid and dismayed. They become incapacitated because they believe the words of their enemy. One giant came out, and the Bible says for 40 days, this man came out called Goliath, morning and evening, and cursed the army of God. And when they heard these words, the army of God became dismayed and afraid. Be careful of what words you are hearing. Words have power only if you receive them and believe them. Israel should have known that their God was with them. Israel should have known that they were mightier than all their enemies. Israel should have known as soon as they drove up, they should have went to war and defeated this enemy. But because they were beat down by the threats and the words of the enemy, they were afraid and dismayed. The same thing will happen in an individual life, in a family's life, in a country's life, a nation's life, when you listen to the words of your enemy and you begin to believe what they're saying. Your enemy's not going to come out at you and say, oh, I'm weak, and I don't know what I'm going to do against you. And I just know that if you will get your stuff together, you can roll over me like a steamer. No, they don't do that. They use propaganda on you. They tell you they're mighty. They show you the points of their strength. They don't show you all their weaknesses. They just tell you about their points of their strength. They don't show you how weak and frail they are. They show you they just take out parts and they lie to you and tell you they're mightier than you. And if you believe them, you're already defeated before you go to war because you're already afraid. You can't fight when you're afraid and dismayed. They wouldn't even go out. They would run when they would see him coming. Does that sound familiar to anyone I'm talking to today? Does anyone know what I'm saying today? Words of the enemy, if you believe them and you receive them and you take them in, you're defeated before the thing even starts. But the enemy hadn't relied or hadn't thought about what God was getting ready to do. There was a young shepherd boy sent by his dad to go down and check on his brothers in this so-called war. His name was David. David was a shepherd. He watched over sheep, his father's flock. He was a great shepherd. One time a bear came out. David fought him with his own hands and killed him. A lion came out. He fought the lion with his own hands and he killed him. Because he realized if he let the enemy get one sheep today and tomorrow another and another and another, if he didn't stop it when it first come up, he would be sitting there with no flock. He learned to stop the enemy when he first drove up as a small shepherd boy. How did he learn that and how did he get power to fight over a bear and a lion? He learned to praise God on the side of the mountain when he was watching his father's sheep. He learned how to pray. He learned how to praise. And when you learn how to pray and you learn how to praise, you know in your spirit that no matter what beast comes out at you, you have power over him, not because of who you are, but because of who your God is. Because when you praise God and you pray, you get in the presence of God, and no enemy can defeat you when you're in the presence of God. That's why the enemies of our nation is trying to get us out of the presence of our God. Because when they get us away from our presence of our God and get us to where we voted God out of everything in our country, then we've lost the power that God gives us to overcome our enemies. And our enemies then become stronger than us because we've listened to their words. No, you can't have a manger scene. No, you can't pray in Jesus' name. No, you can't take a Bible to school. No, you can't talk about Jesus in school. No, no, no. Everything to God is no, because the enemy knows that if they can remove you from the presence of God, they have removed his hand of protection and mercy over you, and you're going to become dismayed and afraid, and you're going to run in terror. I'm telling you the truth. You're seeing it right now in your country with your own eyes. It's a plot. It's an old plot. The devil doesn't come up with new plans. It's the same old, same old. What worked on these people and what the enemy used on Israel that day, he's used all through the scripture. You can see it time and time again. He just comes up under a different name, a different dressing, but it's the same old, same old. He comes in with his words. And if that's what he spoke over Samson. The Bible says that the words of Delilah vexed him unto death. And finally he gave up and succumbed to the enemy. Same thing is happening in our country today. We're listening to the lies of the devil, of our enemy, and we are succumbing under their power. And slowly, bit by bit, they're shaving their locks right off our head. And our strength is going away from us. Because you believe the lies of the enemy. Stand up. We are a mighty nation. We are an awesome nation under God. One nation under God, despite what other people would say. We're under God. I choose to be under God. Will you choose that with me? Listen, that is our only hope. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. You can't make friends with the enemy that's got the sword drawn on your neck and getting ready to cut your head off. Samson went into the tent of Delilah, and she had already conspired with the Philistines that they were going to bind him and afflict him and persecute him. They already had plans of what they're going to do and paid her off to do it. You can't lay in the lap of your enemy and listen to their words and believe them and then think you're going to roll in and defeat them. But God had a plan. He sent David down out of the sheep's pasture, and David had been in the presence of God. He had been praising God, and he was a mighty man because of not who he was, but because he knew who his God was. And when you know your God, and you know who your God is, and you know the power of God, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego told the king that day, we're not careful to speak in this matter. Heat up your furnace. Do what you got to do, but we're not going to bow down to your false God. And when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, guess what? The master was standing there waiting on them. And Jesus, the power of the Bible says, that Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, didn't we throw in three? Behold, there's four in there, and the fourth is likened to the Son of Man. And God brought them out, and the fire had no hold on them. Why? Because they did not believe the words of the enemy, and they withstood the flames of the enemy, and the flames had no hurt on them because they would not succumb to the threat of the enemy. But when David come down and he saw God's army dismayed and afraid, a mighty army of God afraid of one big giant walking back and forth in the morning and the evening cursing the nation of Israel. And they allowed it. One big man threatening, and they believed it, and they took it in, and they were afraid, and they were incapacitated. They couldn't do anything. You see, when words will dismay you, you're going to lose your spiritual backbone. When you let words dismay you, some of you right now, you're not in church because words dismayed you. Somebody dared to offend you. You don't have a spiritual backbone. You let some word, you let somebody speaking over you get you out of the things of God, and now you're dismayed and you're hurt. Your feelings are hurt and you're all bound up and you're all worried and you're all troubled and you're walking around all pitiful. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. It won't work. As long as you live, there are going to be people talking stuff over you that's bad. But you got to learn not to heed it, not to take hold of it. You got to learn to take hold of what God says and believe God's word over what the devil says. David came down and he said, why is this going on? That's a good question. We need to ask that about our lives right now. Why is this going on? Why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing your enemy to speak words over you and telling you what you can't be? You always gonna be sorry. You always gonna be in trouble. You never gonna amount to nothing. Da 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 da. And you believe it. And you follow it. When God's word says the opposite. Who are you gonna believe? Man who can't help but lie, or God who says cannot lie? The word says he's not a man that he should lie. But we do it all the time. The doctor will come in and say there's no hope. And we believe. We don't take God's word. The banker will come in and say, there's no way. And we believe when God said, I'll supply all you need. I could go on and on and on. But who are you going to agree with? Who are you going to believe? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they agree? You're going to agree one way or the other. And then the Bible says this, that when David went before King Saul, I love what he said. He said to King Saul, he said, your servant, in verse 32, he said, your servant will go and fight. He didn't say, oh, I'm a mighty man, and I'm this, and I'm that. No, he said, your servant will go and fight this Philistine, this giant. Can you imagine how the army, what thoughts were going through their mind? They standing there with shields and weapons and chariots and all this mighty warfare stuff and armor. And a little shepherd boy stands before the whole army of Israel and the king of Israel and said, your servant will go fight for all of you. What in the world? What could you think when you saw that? What was going through their mind when they saw this shepherd boy come up before a whole nation that was afraid and said, I'll fight. I'll do it for you. See, when you lose your spiritual backbone, somebody else is going to have to fight for you. When words will dismay you, you lose your spiritual backbone. You can't fight anymore. Somebody else will have to stand up in your place. David said, I'll fight him. Your servant will. And then his brothers came to him and said, you just haughty. You don't know what you're talking about. You just come down to see a battle. Well, there wasn't a battle. All David was seeing was defeat. It wasn't no fighting going on. It was a half-truth. If David had believed the half-truth that his brothers told him, he'd have packed up and went back up to the sheep's pasture. But he believed God over his brothers. And then King Saul, when he went in before King Saul said, David, you're not a man of war. You can't fight this man. You're not big enough. That's a half-truth. No, he wasn't a man of war. No, he wasn't big enough, but his God was. But if David had believed a half-truth, he would have been defeated before he left to face Goliath. But he didn't believe the half-truth. A lot of you are believing the half-truth. See, a half-truth is just a lie. A half-truth is a lie. There's a lot of doctrines going on now. They're mixing a little truth in it and putting a lie in with it. And when you got that, you got a lie. See, David wasn't a man of war, and he wasn't a mighty man of fighting, but he was because of his God. But he didn't believe what the king said. He didn't believe what the brother said. And then the Bible said that he faced Goliath. And Goliath, the Bible says, disdained him, made fun of him, ridiculed him, laughed at him. But you know what? David did not believe what Goliath said. And the words of Goliath just rolled off of David like water off a duck's back. He didn't believe it. He didn't take it in because he knew it was a lie. David said, you come at me with a sword and spear, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. David said, you come at me with a sword, and you coming at me with a spear. But David said this, I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord. Now I want you to stop right now and think about that. Goliath, who was a tall, big man, his armor weighed more than, his coat was like 100-some pounds. Just to have his armor was overwhelming. And he came at this little shepherd boy standing out there with a slingshot and some stones in his bag. And David says, you coming at me with a sword and a spear. And the Philistine cursed David. He cursed him. And he said, David said, you coming at me with a sword and a spear. You coming at me with all your armor. You coming at me with all your big words. But I am coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. I like that. He says, you're coming at me with your big words, your spear, your outfit, your threats, your cursings. But I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God, host of Israel. And he said, this day, David said, this day will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I'm going to smite you, and I'm going to take off your head. I'm going to take your head off. You're not going to take my head off. I'm going to take your head off. And I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air. And he said this, the whole earth is going to know this day there's a God in Israel. Now this talk, this big talk, one coming from a soldier armed to the teeth, this talk was coming from a little shepherd boy that had came out of the sheep's pasture with a slingshot and stones in his bag facing a giant. And he's saying this, you come at me cursing me with a spear and a shield, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to take your head off. You're not going to take my head off. Please, somebody hear me. Please, somebody hear me. Please, somebody wake up. Please, somebody take this word. I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, and this day, not tomorrow, or 6 years down the road, or some plan or agreement that I'm going to sign and work out with you or treaty, this day, I would like to see a this day in our Christian lives. This day, we're going to have the victory. How can we have it today? Know whose name he's coming in. Because he said this, the battle is the Lord's, it's not mine. Now, I want you to know, God don't say by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. And then he said this, all the earth is going to know. He didn't say just this little handful of people up in here, these two armies. And the Bible says he ran toward Goliath. David ran toward him. He didn't shuffle his, he didn't hang his head, he didn't mope toward, he ran toward him because the battle was already won when David first showed up and saw what was going on. He did not believe one word the enemy said. He believed every word that God said because he'd been in God's presence. He learned how to pray and he knew how to fight, not by the words, but by the power of God. He said, the battle is not my battle. You fighting against God. If you wake up this morning and know it's not your battle, it's God's battle, and quit listening to the words of the enemy, God will deliver as he did that day. He'll deliver today. This day, this day, this day, get up and believe God. This day, quit listening to the enemy of your soul. This day, walk in the word of God. Verse 50 says this, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon, he stood on the Philistine. David stood on him. Stood on him. What was big and tall and mighty, now David was standing on top of him. And he took his sword, he drew it out, and he cut off his head. Then when the army saw what had happened, they got a backbone. One boy coming up with faith in God, not listening to the enemy's words, bought victory in his nation. God told me a long time ago, he said, Blondie, I'm going to bring the Davids of the sheep's pasture, the ones that's been praising me and in my presence, I'm going to bring them out. And they're going to stand before the giants of this world. And he said the stone that they're going to use is the cornerstone, the stone that the builders rejected, and that is Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. There's coming a day that there are people that are still, God's got a remnant of people that believe God's word over the words of the enemy. That day, David did not believe the words of his enemy and the enemy of his nation. One small shepherd boy stood in the face of all odds against him. And he made a declaration, you coming at me with all you got, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, and he will give you into my hands. And this day, all the earth will know there's a God in Israel. What the enemy, the plans he had that day, he's trying to use them today on you and myself in our personal lives, in our lives of our family, over our children. Let me tell you, you need to get in the Word. You need to know the Word for yourself. You need to speak the Word. You need to know the Word. You need to eat it. You need to know what God has said, because God has not weakened. He has not changed what He did for David that day. He'll do for us. But it's going to take somebody. It's going to take somebody that will stand up in the face of all hell itself. The lion's den, the storms, the ragings, the furnaces, all stand up and says, do what you got to do, but I'm going to stand for God. And even if I die, it's goodbye world. Hello, Jesus. It will still be blessed to the Lord. I love what right here. I love what happened right here, because David knew that day that God had given him the victory, and because of the stand that he took, it changed the course of a nation. The stand that you take today, you might think nobody's watching, you might think it doesn't matter, but listen, it's going to change your course, it's going to change the course of the people around you. Stop believing the lies of the enemy. And get in your Word, get in God's Word, and know that God can deliver you and God can set you free. Today I pray that you'll go over this scripture and you'll realize the battle is already won. You already got the victory. You already got your answer if you will not believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. The devil is a liar. He has no truth in him. And he comes to defeat and destroy. And he does that by trying to speak over you and tell you what you can't and what he's going to do and this. Don't believe it. But believe God. Get in his presence. Learn to pray. Learn to praise. And victory after victory after victory will be given in the name of the Lord. I pray today you've been blessed. And if you've been blessed in this broadcast, let me know and pray for me. And I'll promise to pray for you. Write me. Let me hear from you. Go to my website, truckingforjesus.org. God bless you today, and I speak the word over you that you'll be blessed going in, you'll be blessed coming out. Keep your eyes on God. He is the author, and he's the finisher of our faith.